This is Ozarks at Large. The 2020 elections are over, yes, but the results from the elections make these first weeks in 2021 highly important political weeks. Nationally, there is a transfer of presidential administrations tomorrow, and last week, the Arkansas legislative session opened, a session that is underway again today after a holiday weekend. As the first few days of the legislative session closed, Roby Brock, with our partner Talk Business and Politics, asked John Brummett, a political writer for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, about the lawmakers' early work in 2021 in both Little Rock and Washington, D.C.
John, we've got the first week of the legislative session pretty much in the books in terms of what they're going to do. Governor gave his State of the State speech. Stand Your Ground advanced as we considered and thought that it would. And we got our first COVID-19 case among the legislature. Everything went about according to schedule, didn't it?
Yeah, that's kind of the first week you would expect. And I think conservative bills are going to go on schedule, and it's going to be a fast-moving schedule. And that's just the way it's going to be in this environment.
Tell me what you thought of the governor's speech in terms of what he outlined in that speech, the reaction from the legislature to that speech. And it was the last one he's going to give before a regular session General Assembly.
Well, as I wrote today, I found he thanked the legislators for their warm reception, which I said wasn't. It was polite and tepid, not rude. It just it was the kind of reception you give somebody who's giving a speech you've heard for 7 years before, that they get a little weary. And he's also out of touch with some of these new folks or the new legislature to his right, particularly on the thing that he spent the most time talking about, the most minutes, the most words, the hate crimes issue. He's not an impassioned speaker, so I'm not going to say he gave an impassioned case argument for the hate crimes law, but he had some good substance. He quoted a rabbi, he quoted a Chamber of Commerce official, and then when he was done, there was not a single hand clap, not even from the, as I referred to it, the skeletal remains of the Democratic caucus. There was no response. It turns out Democrats had made a calculated decision. If we clap for him on this, then it's going to give everybody, it's going to show everybody that the only people for the Republican governor's bill are Democrats, and it's going to sort of embolden or give some license to oppose it to Republicans, if only a smattering of applause came from Democrats. So they kept quiet for a reason, a tactical reason. And it was not a moment of great Arkansas oratory, and not a particularly eventful address. Adequate, fine, nothing wrong with it. Just didn't lift anything, I didn't think.
I think that if you are a supporter of passage of the hate crime bill, I thought one of the best arguments that the governor made in that State of the State speech was he said that it does apply equally to the law, that enhanced penalties would be used against someone who may have killed somebody because they are white just as much as if because they are black. And I'm not sure if that translated to all of the legislators or not, but I thought that was actually a pretty good point that he made there if you're supportive of passage of that bill.
Well, sure. If one of the protections in the bill for a crime committed on basis of hate of your group is race. Race doesn't mean just black people. It means if you kill somebody because they're white or any color. Sure, that's obvious. But I think most of these rural conservatives, I think more things are about race than we care to admit. I think that I've heard people say this gives a special right to these people who've been working all these decades for equal rights. This gives a special right. What are they talking about? They're talking about civil rights. They're talking about black people. So he was trying to address that. And it's unfortunate it has to be even cast in racial terms. So it's a fine argument, but it's an obvious argument that should have occurred to people before that. But it hadn't. Let's face it. One of the major oppositions to this bill is the protection for sexual orientation and gender identity. There are people who believe that's not a condition, that's a choice of behavior, which is ridiculous. And they at least want to take that out. So that, and he did, the governor understandably chose not to even go there. It is possible with 9 House members being Democrats on House rules, it's possible the governor could get this thing out of the House. And then we could see if they could build pressure on that stone wall in the House Judiciary Committee. But I'm not optimistic.
All right. We'll see how that plays out in the coming weeks here. Let's shift our attention to Washington, D.C. Congress on Wednesday passed a second article of impeachment against President Trump. Do you think that it was handled properly, and could it have been handled differently from what you witnessed?
Yes, I think it was handled properly. I think when the president of the United States denies the certified election, an electoral college vote of our constitutional democratic republic process, when he calls it corrupt, when he calls people together and fires them up to go down and show strength at the U.S. Capitol, and they invade the Capitol and do damage and personal harm, that is an act of insurrection, and you have no choice. You have no constitutional option other than to enforce the Constitution and impeach him for what is on its face on live television, an impeachable act, a seditious act. And I don't know how else you act. They wrote a quick, simple article, one thing, gave rise to an insurrection, brought it up, had a debate, voted on it. I don't know what else you're supposed to do. You got any better ideas? I mean, I don't know, other than not do it. I get kind of worked up about this. Republicans, the argument, never mind. You may want to ask me about that.
I think that the main pushback that I heard, particularly from the Arkansas delegation, was about the process. You know, that this doesn't have enough time to air this out properly. It's such a solemn
responsibility. How much time do you need to see people marauding through the U.S. Capitol?
Well, I agree. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm reading some of those responses, they were witness to the crime. I mean,
well, to the extent that they're hiding in bathrooms, they're witnesses, and their political base was trying to get in and threaten them with harm. This, you know, the Arkansas congressional delegation, whatever. They are what they are. They did the right thing on certifying the election eventually, except for Crawford, who doesn't count. But basically, let me put it this way. They have spent 4 years pandering to the Trump base because they're afraid of it. Then they spent last Wednesday, a week ago, hiding from the Trump base because they were afraid of it. Then they declined to impeach the Trump base, vote to impeach Trump because they're afraid of the reaction of the Trump base. Fear, fear, fear. Fear times 3. That's what it's all about. And I find it utterly disgraceful. Okay.
What are your expectations for the Senate? It goes down there. Senate Majority Leader today, Mitch McConnell, says he's not taking it up. Senate Majority Leader Schumer tomorrow or down the road says that they will. What do you think is going to play out in the Senate?
McConnell's not going to do it. It's hard to say what that means. These things don't occur without some reason. When the New York Times and the Washington Post, which are the best papers, when they report that sources are saying McConnell is furious with the president and is ready to cut the cord with the president and might actually vote for impeachment and believes impeachment is appropriate, then that happened because McConnell wanted that word out. Now, whether that translates to his delaying this until Schumer and the Democrats can run it, and Trump is gone, and maybe it would be easier for some of his fellow Republicans to vote for it. Those who want to be president might want to take Trump out of the equation by convicting him. That's possible. It is possible that by delaying it until the next Senate and McConnell's strange signals, that all of that means they might come up with, 17 Republicans out of 48 who would vote for it. I'm holding out the possibility that under the next circumstance could happen. But I'm not sure. I don't know. It's an uphill climb. But right now, I would be, if I had to pick, I would say convicting in the Senate impeachment conviction in the Senate, I'd give that better odds than I would passing a hate crimes law in Arkansas to bring these two things together. Not real good odds for either, but I'd make them a little better. Now, you want to talk about a strange new presidency. Joe Biden is going to try to get through this inauguration without civil war. And then he's got a big stimulus. He wants to give everybody $2,000. He wants to do a lot of other things, big policy things. And I guess he's asked the Senate, can you do your impeachment trial half a day and then let me have some of my bills considered the other half? What a weird, weird, troubling time we are in.
John Brummett is a political writer for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and he talked with Roby Brock from our partner, Talk Business and Politics. There is more political coverage at talkbusiness.net, and you can read John Brummett's columns at arkansasonline.com.